At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
It's time to talk to Alistair Spence-Clark from Spence-Clark & Company. Morning, Alistair.
Morning, Bill.
Nice to talk to you. It's too late to say Happy New Year now. We can't do it now. It's way, way too late now.
It's kind of become a bit of a memory, but it's been a nice memory this year.
It has, and I've got to confess, it's the time of year when there is some deadlines for Spanish tax, and they do confuse me, and I've spoken to other people about this, and that nobody seems very clear what deadlines we have to meet when it comes to Spanish tax. But one's kind of now-ish, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I can barely remember New Year, yeah. Because the month of January is probably the heaviest deadline month, right. For business tax filings. So we have to file VAT returns, income tax returns for the self-employed, a whole raft of different tax returns. So we're just about over that. I mean, tomorrow is the last day of the deadline. Okay. Normally it's the 20th of each quarter, which is the big deadline. So that's April, July, October, and December, January. But in January, we actually go up to the 31st of January because we have so much more stuff to file. So we've been very busy with that, and now we're moving on to that the year end for the income tax,
yes.
Personal tax filings.
So this is last year we're talking about effectively now, isn't it?
Yeah, this is the year end 2019, 31st December.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. In terms of other deadlines, I thought the number which is kind of drilled into people's heads now, the Modelo 720, I thought that had gone away, but apparently not.
Unfortunately not. I mean, we've been going on about this for 9 years. And it's actually the very first of the personal tax filings that we have to do in a particular year. So we have until March to file that. So we're just starting there. We're actually writing to all our clients at the moment to remind them that they've got to tell us what foreign assets they've got. It's nothing to do with Spain. It's the assets you have in Spain. Basically, if you've got assets outside of Spain, more than 50,000, mm-hmm. you have to declare the existence of those assets. There's no tax to pay. It's purely informative. Mm. So having declared, you have a house in, Burnley, mm-hmm. yeah, which is worth more than 50,000 euros.
You haven't been to Burnley recently, clearly, then, Alistair.
I'm sure it's a wonderful place. One of our staff used to come from Burnley. She had a wonderful accent.
And, it's a great place. I've been there many times.
Very rich. Once you've declared the existence of the house or the bank account with NatWest, all you have to do is if the value changes more than 20,000 mm-hmm. euros, you then have to declare the change of the value. That's all, really. And we've been doing this for 9 years, So yeah. It's...
What is then determined to be an asset? Obviously, a house is one. Supposing you have a flashy car.
No, it's actually quite a weird set of filings. But basically, there are three classes. One is a bank account, one is a house, and one is an investment portfolio. Those are the three classes of assets. So each one of those has got its 50,000 limit. So if you've got a 50,000 bank account, you've got a house in wherever, and you've got a portfolio of investments, a Cure Ops, for example, mm-hmm. Potentially, or a SIP pension fund, over 50,000, that has to be declared as well. So basically, it is an informative tax return. It was there to stop the enormous amount of tax fraud in Spain, not directed at the foreigners, incidentally. It was directed at the Spanish population who like to have Swiss bank accounts and Gibraltar and stuff like that. So it's been around for ages and ages.
And why is it so feared? Is it to do with the level of fines that go with it?
Yes. I mean, the EU is having a crack at it at the moment, and hopefully in a year or so we will see those fines extinguished. But the way where we stand at the moment is that if you don't file the tax return, you're subject to a 10,000 minimum fine.
Okay.
10,000. I mean, that's why it's so outrageously high that that's why the EU Commission has decided to take up the fact that this is completely out of line with anything else that happens in Spain.
And what is it about this that the public run screaming from? Why are people so reluctant to do this?
The reason people are so concerned about it is because a lot of people have not declared that they have a house which they're renting out. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have not declared that they have a portfolio of pensions. Yeah. And a lot of people have been badly advised. Let's face it. I mean, I still can't believe it. But you know, I meet people who A, don't know about it, and B, their lawyer says they don't have to do it. Mm. And it's just extraordinary when you've got a €10,000 fine that you could be assessed. It's incredible that people are so irresponsible. I mean, I can understand somebody who's just arrived.
Yeah,
and not knowing anything about it, but somebody who's been here for 10 years. I mean, it's hard to, you know, pick up a newspaper or listen to a radio program without hearing. Yeah,
absolutely. And so, if people want more information, I guess they can contact you. And you've got an FAQ on this, haven't you?
Yeah, because it's such a weird tax declaration. I mean, for example, you'll love this. If you've got a box full of gold bars,
right,
in London,
yes,
okay, don't have to declare it.
What?
Isn't that mad? If you're a signatory on a bank account,
yep,
of a company, and that company has more than €10,000, or sorry, €50,000 in the bank,
yep,
just being a signatory on that bank account means you have to declare it. It really is insane. So what I would suggest for people to do is to go on our website, which is spenceclark.com, and go under the articles tab, and you will find there a frequently asked questions highlighting all the insanity of this particular tax return.
Okay.
So it's there for everyone to see. We've just recently updated it, so I think it's a few days old, because every year there's some more rulings, inevitably, because it's so weird. I recommend to people to have a quick look at it, and if they've got any doubts, of course, they can easily phone us, and we're very happy to take their inquiries.
Fantastic. Okay, now, we have been mentioning for the last couple of months the health checks that you've been doing on people. This is not where you go around and test their heart or their blood pressure after a tax visit, but this is a financial health check, and you've got some kind of stories that people have kind of come to the surface, if you like.
Yes, I mean, we started this in October, and it's been quite popular. Every time what we do is, obviously, we don't take their pulse or anything, yeah, but we dig into their accounts.
Right.
I mean, sort of thing accountants like to do, and everybody tries to avoid. So we poke around the accounts, and we poke around their tax returns, and make sure that people have been filing correctly. And you'd have thought, well, you know, you pay a professional advisor to do all these things for you properly, but you would be amazed at what we find. So I'm going to give you a couple of the weird ones that we've come across.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think it was about 3 weeks ago, just after the new year, we had a guy who had been working for a financial services company, you know, one of the many that we have in Spain.
Yep.
And he thought that the employer had done everything necessary. He thought he was an employee, but in fact, it turns out he was self-employed. He sort of knew it, but didn't know. He was
right.
He's a newcomer to Spain. Why should he know anything about stuff like that? Yeah. Anyway, he left the employment, I think, about a year ago. And I think in December, he received a letter from the tax office, and it said, we understand you're self-employed, and where are your tax returns? imagine receiving that before Christmas.
Yeah.
Anyway, it turned out that he hadn't filed one tax return. What had happened is the employer had registered him as self-employed so that they could do their job properly, but they sort of hadn't really set him up properly. And as a result of that, he was in deep trouble.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, it actually didn't turn out too badly. It wasn't bad at all, really. We had to file about 20 tax declarations.
Right.
Because we had to go back 4 years.
Did you use your 20 for the price of one deal there, Alice?
It was actually, we were very economic, because if you file 20 tax returns in one go, it does not cost 20 times what normally happens.
Sure.
The really good thing is, because he was in financial services, he didn't have to file VAT returns, either returns.
Right.
And his employer had deducted the 15% PAYE. Okay. So, in fact, he hardly had anything to pay. He had a few small fines, because obviously if you're late, you have to pay up your fines for not filing.
Hmm.
But apart from that, he was pretty well square. So it was it was a terrible thing to have to contemplate, but as it turned out, it wasn't too bad. So that's one of the things. But the moral of the tale is you must check your situation. You can't just assume that everything's fine.
You see, that's a real weird one, isn't it? You go to a professional and you assume the reason you're going to the professional is because they're going to advise you professionally.
Well, as it happened, this guy didn't have a professional.
Oh, dear, right.
He thought his employer had set everything up. Talking about professionals and all the rest of it, this is the other weird one. I mean, I've actually explained this one before, but we keep coming across it, so it is odd. Okay, so one company we came across had a credit card account. Okay, I'm not going to go into any details. Mm-hmm. I don't want any possibly to identify this, but they had a credit card account. Let's say it's one of the big American ones.
Yep, right.
And in the bookkeeping, there was a balance of 60,000. Mm-hmm. We call it a debit balance. And basically what had happened is the bookkeeper, the accountant, the head store, whatever, had been putting all the payments over the last few years to this account, which had accumulated to 60,000 euros. And what he hadn't done is put any of the costs, you know, any of the debits that you'd gone through. So, you know, obviously you use your credit card, you pay something out.
Yes.
Okay. And then you pay the credit card company back. Well, all the transactions that had gone through the card, not one of them had been put in. The accountant had been receiving the credit card statements, but because the client hadn't sent him any invoices, he hadn't bothered making any entries.
Ah, okay.
Can you imagine?
Okay.
Oh, it was bad. Anyway, it's actually a tricky one to sort out, but you can fortunately put transactions in late. It's just not ideal.
Right.
Now that was one that we could solve. The one that we couldn't solve, and this has happened time and time again. So what happens is the bookkeeper doesn't know what to do with the payment.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, okay, I'll put it to the director.
Yep.
It's the director who's meant to be giving me the papers, and if he can't be bothered to give me the right papers, I'll put it to him because I don't know what to do with it. And they also put it to a thing called cash account, mm-hmm. Kacha, account code 570, if you want to know the detail. And so what they do is the accountant's history is dump these payments into these sort of I don't know what to do accounts and don't bother to have a conversation with their clients. Yeah. Anyway, we came across another one who had 300,000 in debit balances. 300,000.
Wow.
Now, basically, what that means, if they had a tax inspection, is the tax inspector would say, well, you've had 300,000 of money out of the company. You can't have it out of the company without paying tax. You know, it's either salary or it's a dividend.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, in this particular case, where people have had that problem, we have no choice. You know, we've got to pay the dividend tax, which is 19%. So that can be a bit of a nasty shock. So, you know, what can I say? People have got to look at their accounts. You know, if your accountant is not giving you some sensible balance sheets and having a discussion with you at least once a year about what your balances consist of, you're going to get into trouble.
It's almost like having to become an expert in reading blood test reports when you go to a doctor. I'm not really quite clear why you should have to, but...
Well, I think you've just made a very good comparison. You go and see a doctor, the doctor explains something to you, has some tests, does some checking, and they actually sit down and explain to you what the problem is.
Yeah.
What's happening here is there's no discussion as to what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they're not even saying that something's wrong. I mean, they've got everything here. They've got all the tests, but they're not saying to their clients,
yes,
you have a problem because you haven't given me these papers, or you have a problem because I don't understand what you're doing.
Mm.
No dialogue. And when people, I mean, for example, this is another one. You hear it time and time again. If you pay more VAT on your purchases than you account for on yourself, let's say you're exporting, then you're entitled to your VAT back on your costs. What happens is a lot of tax advisors, gestores, say, well, no, you're better off not claiming that back because if you do, you'll have a tax inspection.
Hmm.
Well, so what?
Mm.
You know, are you saying that my accounts are wrong, therefore you don't want to have tax? Yeah. So whenever you hear that, and talking to all the listeners, whenever you hear your accountant saying, don't claim back the VAT because you're going to have a tax inspection, you have to say to yourself, well, what have I got to hide?
Yes. Yeah.
Not good, is it?
No.
And it happens time and time. And everyone's frightened of the tax office. There's nothing to be frightened of.
In terms of the actual individuals, I mean, you're a UK chartered accountant, but there are various kind of categories here, and that's probably confuses a lot of people.
Yeah, I think the nearest thing you'll get to a UK chartered accountant in Spain is a kind of economista. Right. Okay, the word economista can be a true economist, like, you know, Davos. But also it means an accountant. But there are different specialities within the brand of economista, within the degree. Mm. So, you know, you can specialize in company, you can specialize in tax, and different types of sort of money, effectively. So there is a massive difference, you know, to qualify. I did 5 years of exams and on-the-job training. So I was working and doing exams for 5 years. Mm. And then I had to do 2 years after I qualified before they let me loose on the public.
Right.
So I did 7 years of training and exams. Mm-hmm. Before I was allowed to practice. In Spain, you do your 3-year degree, you stick your sign up, and, you know, there you are.
Yeah.
You know, and you can call yourself an assessor fiscal. You can call yourself an you can't call yourself an economista, but you can call yourself pretty well anything. And there is no quality control. So, Gestoría. Gestoría. What is a Gestoría? Well, Gestoría is not an accountant, but your Gestoría is doing your books. Interesting. I mean, some of them may have actual proper accountants working for them, but the odds are that they're not accountants. They are paper pushers. Yeah.
I often ask the receptionist at the medical centre about my health issues. It's you know, it's a great way to go about it.
Yes, yeah. But you understand, I mean, you know, the comparison of, you know, you have a dialogue with your medical advisor, you know, it's exactly the same in tax and accounting.
Get it. Yeah. We're running out of time. We've actually had a very late question in, but it actually ties in with something you wanted to talk about anyway. So let me just run this by you quickly. From Mick, who says, my wife and I have a holiday apartment in the Murcia province. We're just starting to rent out. We went to see a solicitor to ask her fees for submitting our tax return. There you go. These have to be completed at the end of the 3 months when we have a rental. Curiously and most unfairly, it transpires that if we have, say, only a 3-night booking between January and the end of March, which is entirely possible, then we'll end up paying her more than we actually got back in rent before paying any tax due. Do you have to submit a tax return on what could be only an income of €75 when her fee is actually more than that, 110 plus VAT? So in other words, the question is, I guess, is there a threshold below which a tax return does not have to be submitted?
Right. The question is a bit confusing because I'm not sure if this particular individual is a resident or not of Spain.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If the individual is a resident of Spain, there are no quarterly tax returns for rental income.
Okay.
None. You file them with your annual tax declaration. And if your total rental income, or your total income from all sources, is less than €14,000 each, you don't even have to file an income tax return at the end of the year.
Right.
Okay. Right. If you're on a salary, by the way, it's around 23,000. If you're a Spanish salary, Spanish pension, the limit is 23,000, and you don't have to file a tax return under that.
Okay.
But going back to the rental thing, if you're a foreigner,
yep,
and you know receive 3 days' rent, then you have got to file the quarterly tax declaration.
Wow.
Okay. Now, being pragmatic, okay, which is very important with tax in Spain. If you dumped those 3 days of rental into the following quarter,
yes,
yeah, the chances of having a problem are nil. Okay. Except that there is a new tax return which people involved with renting have to fill in. So if you use Airbnb, for example, they will report that you received rent through Airbnb for 3 days in the March quarter.
I see, yeah.
In which case, if you haven't filed a tax return for that quarter, you could get caught.
Right, right.
And then you'd suffer a fine for not having filed that tax return.
Got it.
So if you're non-resident, this is only for non-residents. If you're non-resident and you receive rent in a calendar quarter, you should file a tax return. And first of all, don't go to a solicitor. Please go to an assessor fiscal. Or in worst case, a Gestoría. But
yeah.
Why go to a solicitor? I mean, kind of weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, that's what the regulations say.
Okay, that makes sense.
Well, yeah.
Okay, Mick, hope that helps you and the advice. I hope you heard the advice. Contact details, Alistair, and are you still doing the health checks or are people run out of time?
Yeah, no, we're certainly going to do health checks in February. It's still a good time for us because if people want to find out what's wrong with their accounts, up to the end of February is actually still sensible. We can still correct things relatively easily. After February, not so sure, because we get incredibly busy with all the annual accounts and stuff that we have to do.
Fantastic.
But anyway, people can get get hold of us without any difficulty on spenceclark.com, and they can call us at 952822943.
Okay. Fantastic. And we will be back with you on the last Thursday of next month. Speak to you
indeed.
Then.
Indeed. All right. Look forward to
take
it,
Take care. Bye-bye.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.